From WYPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. Three days before Earth Day 2017, we look at several efforts to build momentum for a healthy environment. Up first, Carl Simon, interim director of the environmental watchdog group Blue Water Baltimore, tells us about a host of activities for Earth Day, from down and dirty trash removal to fledgling trees and flowers for planting. Then, Goucher College will screen the documentary City of Trees, which features a job training program in Washington, D.C. The training centers on urban forestry, and participants are tasked with beautifying neglected parks. Filmmaker Brandon Kramer explains.
It's also a program that's training them in soft skills and life skills, how to write a resume, how to go through a job interview, how to get an email address.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. In 1970, the first Earth Day mobilized 20 million Americans to demonstrate their support for environmental protection by participating in events and marches. Today, Earth Day, celebrated each year on April 22nd, on Saturday this year, is a global event with more than a billion participants across 193 countries. In Baltimore, many organizations will commemorate the day by offering volunteer activities and events that let people show their appreciation for the environment, from cleaning up waterways and parks to planting trees and attending environmentally themed fundraisers. With us today is Carl Simon, Director of Programs and Interim Executive Director of the nonprofit Blue Water Baltimore, which works to restore the quality of Baltimore's rivers, streams, and harbor. Carl Simon, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
What does Blue Water Baltimore have on tap for Baltimoreans who want to get out and show their city some love?
We have a lot on tap for this weekend. We have several very exciting events with trash pickup at Herring Run
Park. Okay, but you just said trash pickup is exciting. Prove that.
It is your chance to get your hands dirty, to get out with your friends, your neighbors, and in fact, it can be really fun because you discover all the trash, all the different types of trash Baltimoreans throw away. While really it's a community building event, it's the chance to have fun, get outside.
So where are you going to pick up trash?
We will be at Herring Run Park in Bel Air Edison, northeast Baltimore. We will also be at Library Square in southeast Baltimore, right north of Patterson Park. And these are exciting days. They're all part of Project Clean Stream, which is a regional effort all Chesapeake Bay wide. We, Blue Water Baltimore, we are the number one host in the entire Chesapeake Bay region for Project Clean Stream, and we hope to pick up 100,000 pounds of trash this year, and we're halfway there. We've already picked up 50,000 pounds, and with the support of volunteers coming out this weekend on Earth Day, we can make a significant difference in improving our environmental health through removing litter and improving our waterways.
That's a lot of trash. So I interrupted you. What else is on tap this weekend?
Our other really exciting event is at the Herring Run Nursery, the native plant nursery that's part of Blue Water Baltimore. We will be having a rain barrel workshop and a tree giveaway where people can come and receive a free tree to plant at their yard on their private property.
What kind of tree?
We'll have various native species. We only plant natives. I know we have willow oak, which is very popular, several other types of oaks, pines, maybe a red bud or two. Everyone, the red buds sell out quick, so I'll get there early. And at the nursery itself, the nursery will be open along with these fun events where you can shop and look for any kind of native plant that we are selling.
And you sell them. These are, yes, not giveaways.
We have both this weekend. We have a certain amount of free trees, first come, first serve, and that is part of reforesting private land in Baltimore, which improves the environmental health. And we have a much broader selection of plants for sale at our nursery, which is native plant-only nursery.
What else this weekend?
One more event is Blooms on the Boulevard in Pigtown.
Blooms on the Boulevard.
Yeah, so this is a exciting event where they're beautifying Pigtown, of course. It's a very common way to beautify neighborhoods is through greening, through planting, through trash removal. And that's where Blue Water Baltimore, we come in. We support the local group, which in this case is Pigtown. And the result will be a beautified neighborhood.
That's Carl Simon, Director of Programs and Interim Executive Director of the nonprofit Blue Water Baltimore. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about some upcoming events to honor Earth Day, but how do you describe the significance of Earth Day itself for the public? Does it make any difference?
Yes, it does make a difference. Earth Day is a exciting catalyst for people to get outside, to simply going outside with your family, spending time volunteering. This in itself is the most important thing we can be doing, because when we get out behind our screens, get outside, we spend too much inside looking at screens. This is just a chance to get outside, enjoy nature, improve nature. And Blue Water Baltimore and all of us in the environmental field hope that this is a start for people to feel the excitement of getting involved and making a difference. And that Earth Day, this Saturday, can be the beginning of a more longer-term, sustainable commitment to improving our environment.
Do you have any evidence that it has provided that function over these decades?
For Blue Water Baltimore, it is one of our biggest weeks, biggest months for volunteering. And we make significant impacts through our volunteers. Last year, we planted over 2,500 trees and picked up over 100,000 pounds of trash. And on Earth Day, on Earth Week or Earth Month, some people call it, that's when we have our spike in volunteers, our spike in participation, which does result in an improved environment.
We have just a couple minutes left. What are the upcoming priorities for Blue Water Baltimore?
The upcoming priorities for Blue Water Baltimore are really addressing the pollution in Baltimore. Sewage, stormwater, trash are the top three. We also have toxins, legacy toxins in the city. Our mission is addressing all those forms of pollution, which will result in a significantly improved environment for Baltimore and our citizens to enjoy. And we are part of the environmental movement that does more than just talk about these things, these goals. We take action, we mobilize volunteers, we implement projects, and we advocate for improved policies. And so that's representing a larger shift in the environmental movement that I feel so passionately about. Is it's time for the environmental movement to stop talking and start doing, making improvements in people's lives that they see, that they feel. And that's what we're doing in Baltimore. And it's an exciting time. And I think the best days are ahead for Baltimore's environment. In the nonprofit sector in Blue Water Baltimore, we're leading that.
When you say legacy toxins, what in particular are you referring to? And what specifically are you doing about it?
For legacy toxins in Baltimore and other industrial port cities, there are cases of lead and other things that or from the old factories that were here. We at Blue Water Baltimore, we will ensure through our policy and monitoring work that these toxins are not harming people of Baltimore. And we are a watchdog group. That is one of our functions, that we keep an eye on government entities and private businesses to ensure that they're meeting their permit compliance, which can and sometimes does include the enforcement of making sure the toxins don't inappropriately leave their sites or reach our water systems or harm the people around them. So we are really monitoring. We don't do any direct remediation as a nonprofit, but we do keep an eye on making sure that the Clean Water Act is enforced locally here.
Is there something different about Earth Day in 2017 or something more urgent about it?
This is the most important Earth Day ever. This is a time where we are experiencing policymakers who don't accept the scientific underpinnings of our field. This is a time where we must take action as an environmental field to make a difference. We are seeing record participation for groups like Blue Water Baltimore because the excitement is at the grassroots, neighborhood level here in Baltimore. Our solutions will be at the neighborhood level, and that's where they come from. And as a field, as an environmental field, we are ready to support and empower those solutions from the neighborhood level. And so it's a bottom-up approach. It's growing. It's exciting. It's so much fun to be a part of, getting your hands dirty, improving, and making some friends along the way. That's what Blue Water Baltimore is all about. Clean water and strong communities. That's our mission. And this Earth Day, it's more important than ever.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Carl Simon is Blue Water Baltimore's interim executive director and its director of programs. We're talking about Earth Day, which is Saturday. Time for a quick break. When we return, a documentary that shows how improving parks helped reduce poverty and violence in Washington, D.C., and some of the challenges it faced. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. What good can come from planting a tree? It may benefit the environment, it may improve a park's appearance, and for someone stuck in the trench of long-term unemployment, planting a tree may be a lifeline. The documentary City of Trees follows participants in the Green Corps, a job training program run by the nonprofit Washington Parks and People. The program sets its sights on rehabbing Oxen Run Park in southeast Washington, D.C.'s Washington Highlands neighborhood. Along the way, this goal hits some roadblocks, including financial troubles and opposition from people living near the park. Joining us on the line is Brandon Kramer, documentary filmmaker and co-founder of the D.C.-based production company Meridian Hill Pictures. He directed City of Trees, which premiered in 2015. The film will be screened at Goucher College's Merrick Lecture Hall a week from tomorrow at 6 p.m., Thursday, April 27th. Brandon Kramer, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you so much for having me.
What prompted you to delve into the work of Washington Parks and People?
We met Steve Coleman, the executive director of the organization, in 2010, and they had just received a $2.4 million stimulus grant to create a green job training program in Washington, D.C., aimed at training long-term unemployed D.C. residents in urban forestry. And we felt like they were at this really critical point where they were being given this opportunity to create this program to try to help part of D.C. that was really struggling. And for us, as documentary filmmakers and as storytellers, we kind of fell in love with both Steve and Charles, who was one of the first trainees in the program of the first cohort.
That's Charles Holcomb.
Who was actually hired by Washington Parks and People to be on staff. It was a huge opportunity for the organization, but also a huge amount of responsibility because it was the largest amount of funding, the biggest program the organization was ever to take on. For Charles, Charles was, you know, being given a consistent paycheck, and he was given this leadership position. He was about to have his first child, Zaria, his daughter. His brother had recently been incarcerated for life, and he was at this major turning point in his life as well. And that was the case really for a lot of the staff and trainees in the program, was that this grant and this program was really providing them this opportunity to change their lives and their community's lives.
Washington Parks and People's goal is to hire people who face barriers to unemployment. Here's a clip from the trailer for the film. We start hearing from Steve Coleman.
We're looking for people for whom this program has the biggest likelihood of making a major impact in their life. And we made a specific commitment that we're going to work with people who've had a hard time getting a job.
I can't imagine like where I would be now if I was still doing all the things I was doing a year ago. Like, I will never hustle a day again in my life, ever. I never knew how much I had to live for, what I was putting on the line.
Brandon Kramer, you told us about Charles Holcomb. Tell us about some of the other participants.
We also followed another trainee in the program. His name is Michael Samuels. And when we met Michael, he was recently coming out of a 2-year prison sentence. this was, the Green Corps was the second job training program that he was a part of, and kind of met Michael at this incredible point for him where he was, you know, really trying to make a complete, you know, 180 change in his life. And, you know, he came back and wanted to, you know, cut off all past negative relationships in his life. He wanted to find a job. He really wanted to get himself back on his feet. And, you know, what we were struck with Michael was that he really saw in the program an opportunity to practice and learn how to find a job, how to communicate his prison sentence to employers. One of the scenes with Michael in the film is when he's doing a mock job interview and practicing how to explain that gap in his resume.
Well, tell us in a nutshell what the work of the Green Corps is, the Washington Green Corps.
The Green Corps is a green job training program that is, on one end, training long-term unemployed D.C. residents in urban forestry skills, so how to plant trees, how to do stream restoration, how to revitalize green spaces and public parks. And then it's also a program that's training them in soft skills and life skills, how to write a resume, how to go through a job interview, how to get an email address, and just kind of basic life and communication skills that that for some people, you know, like Michael, who was, you know, coming out of a 2-year prison sentence, you know, setting up an email account and those kind of things are really important. And so it's a 3-month training program where during the time of the stimulus grant, the trainees were paid full-time for those 3 months. And throughout the training program, the trainees got to meet different employers, and the program tries to place the trainees in different job opportunities in you know, the green economy.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with filmmaker Brandon Kramer about his documentary City of Trees, which will screen a week from tomorrow at Goucher. You mentioned Steve Coleman, the executive director of Washington Parks and People. He's a grassroots environmental activist, very passionate about helping people overcome obstacles to employment, like a criminal record or addiction, lack of education. But he's had a very different set of life experiences than the people he's working to help. How does that play out in the film?
I mean, one of the reasons why we decided to follow Steve's story and not just the story of the trainees in the program is because I think a lot of the times different nonprofit organizations and different people want, there's a lot of people in this world, including myself and my brother, who want to, you want to help communities and you want to create programs and efforts and initiatives to work with communities that are struggling to really help them. And that process of not being, you know, originally from a community and trying to help that community is really, really complicated, hard work. And our feeling as documentary filmmakers is, instead of glossing over the hardships and the struggles and the tensions and the contradictions that exist when two different communities are coming together to try to solve a problem, our feeling was to honestly capture that and have people be able to engage in an honest conversation about, you know, what it means to be white working in a mostly African-American community, what it means to be from Northwest working with residents and staff that are based in Southeast D.C. across the river, and you know, how do we show where communities are coming together in this way, and not just show the positives, but also show where it's hard, because this kind of work is really hard, and it's dealing with issues that have a long history of being built up. And so our feeling was, instead of not including Steve in the film and just focusing on the trainees, it was actually really important to show how does someone like Steve and Karen in the film interact and collaborate and work with these communities, and not just ignore that cross-section that's happening with a program like Green Corps.
The documentary follows the Green Corps as it struggles with funding and community opposition. Why was it important to show that?
My brother and I, and at Meridian Hill Pictures, we really believe strongly in programs like Green Corps and again, and frankly, you know, believe in what the stimulus did and could do for people's lives. I think as documentary filmmakers, we see that there is a real need and a real value in telling the stories of these efforts and these programs aimed at creating change in a really honest way that shows the impact that these efforts and these projects are having in people's lives, how it's affecting them personally, but also shows, you know, where there are struggles, where there are pain points. Because if we're just showing, you know, how a program like the Green Corps put money in people's pockets, allowed people like Michael to transform their lives, allowed somebody like Charles to transform his life, but then we're ignoring and not including in that story, you know, what happens when, you know, when they leave the program, when they leave the training program and they go out into the world beyond that, and the struggles of finding work or the struggles for Washington Parks and People when a stimulus grant comes to a close, then we're not actually allowing the public to engage in a conversation around both the successes and the challenges of this work.
Why was there opposition to planting trees? That seems like motherhood and apple pie.
The best way to answer that question is to watch the film. But I think there, what happens, you know, what we observed is when you have a simple task, what seems like a simple task of putting trees in the ground is not so simple. You know, when it comes to public spaces, lots of people feel very differently about how public spaces should be used, who should be using them. When there's any kind of change to a space, even something as seemingly simple and good as planting trees, a lot of people get involved and have differing opinions about how that space should be used and how that space should be changed. And I think it's not just planting trees, it's any kind of change that you're trying to bring to any neighborhood or any community. Whenever that happens, if you're part of nonprofit or community-based work, like, any kind of change creates a lot of different people with a lot of different opinions and backgrounds and perspectives coming to the table. And a lot of the times, those differing perspectives are a reason for strength and a reason to make, you know, projects and change stronger. And a lot of the times, they can create a lot of struggle and a lot of difficulties. And for us, we felt it was really important to show for this one project that, you know, when you're putting trees in the ground, this is what you have to navigate. These are the different perspectives and people and opinions and emotions and hurdles that come in with just a simple act of planting trees. And the hope is to have a conversation around, you know, where is having these different perspectives, you know, strengthening the work, and where is it making it harder?
Brandon, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Brandon Kramer is the director of the documentary City of Trees about the nonprofit Washington Parks and People's job training program. The film will be shown at Goucher College's Merrick Lecture Hall on Thursday, April 27th, a week from tomorrow at 6 p.m. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, you can find out about other screenings and how to request a screening, along with a list of other local Earth Day activities. Earth Day is Saturday. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow.